Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon, a Bethany podcast where we choose to dig deeper into Sunday's messages and to wrestle through those hard topics. I'm Tammy DeLau, and today I'm joined with Pastor David Baxley, and unfortunately, the last time with Pastor Thad Harless. So we have been doing a series entitled Passionately, and this is our last one. We are going to learn why we desire to have passionate leaders here at Bethany. So with that being said, Thad, you wanted to give us a quick flyover of your Sunday message and what you're thinking?
Absolutely. So as we start with, we kind of open up with this idea of the church as both a organism, mm-hmm. body of Christ, which I think most of us would just acknowledge that, draw to that. We've been taught that. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. But the church is also an organization, and I think that just causes us to kind of like, I don't know about that. That just sounds too businessy, right, or too professional. But the church really is both a organism, mm-hmm. and it is an organization that is made up of the organism to foster and serve mm-hmm. the organism. In the sermon, I'm going to compare this to kind of grapes and a trellis. Mm-hmm. So for grapes to be healthy, they need to grow along a trellis. And if the trellis stops or isn't constructed in such a way to allow for health, the church is going to not be able to grow beyond that point. They're not going to be able to continue to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about passionate leadership, we desire that leadership to become a trellis. Mm-hmm. So the church, the grapes, the organism can be healthy, mm-hmm. right?
That's good.
And when they're healthy, they're going to naturally grow. They're going to grow in the sense of a grape and the trellis, they'll be full and delicious and wonderful and again, continue to grow. But in the sense of believers, we can grow deeper with our walk with Jesus Christ, our capacity to serve and love and care for others. And all of this occurs when you have leadership that is continuing to grow itself as a trellis would go higher or broader. Mm-hmm. So too then your grapes can grow. And so we have to recognize that that trellis, it doesn't exist without the grapes. It doesn't mm-hmm. exist without the organism, the church. But at the same time, that trellis, we have to focus on those passionate leaders, that trellis, and make sure that we're building them and growing them and enlarging our leadership capacity in various different areas so that the church itself can grow and be healthy. Or really, I should say, to be healthy, and if it's healthy, it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to open up with that and in the message, but it's one of those things that where we need to say, hey, we need to also focus on our servant leadership, mm-hmm. Our leaders mm-hmm. in the church.
I think good piece of that. I remember when first time you and I were talking and you were talking about those two key ideas, organism or organization. And it's not just the leadership, but how the leadership builds the organization. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look from church to church, a theme should be spiritual leaders. Mm-hmm. Should be those elders helping lead the church, the deacons supporting that. But at the same time, recognizing that their role is to figure out exactly what that trellis should look like mm-hmm. within the body of Christ to fulfill the mission that God has uniquely put on her as a mm-hmm. church. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a beautiful piece that we've seen our elders do over the last 6-7 years, and I've seen them grow more and more. That's why I love our elders so much, is how much value they put in, not just into existing as leaders, but taking the responsibility of saying, God, what have you called us to do as a church? What is this vision, this mission that you uniquely called us to, and how do we uniquely build that organization mm-hmm. to accomplish that? Mm-hmm. How do we help empower that within pastors and leaders and elsewhere? So I think that's an important piece, is the model of that is called by God, but then that role and how mm-hmm. they practice that is just as important. Mm-hmm.
And such creativity, each church would be different. Mm-hmm. Each elder board would be mm-hmm. hearing different things.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good. So I know you're going to be talking about the roles of elders mm-hmm. and the roles of deacons and just the qualifications that are there. And I know one of the things that our girl group questions will be is our leaders are still human. And mm-hmm. so yes, they may need to be hospitable, but they may be going through something hard in their family or have an illness where some of those qualifications don't look like they fit. So mm-hmm. how do we love our elders through that? How do we give grace? Because I think it's so easy to look and judge. Does that make sense, that question at all?
Because we have lifted them up, mm-hmm. and that's part of the message, is really a recognizing mm-hmm. that they should be have that. What's your first one? Above reproach.
Yeah, above reproach.
But yet, how do we recognize the humanity in all of us within our own brokenness within that process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great question.
It is an interesting dynamic of how to. Because I think we need to look to ourselves in this too, right? We need to look at how are we submissive to and accountable to our elder leadership? Mm-hmm. But then how do we also look at them and hold them accountable to this? Mm-hmm. But particularly with this balance with their humanity, and even in a time of transition that we're going through with the transition of a senior pastor, there's going to be new responsibilities going through there. There's going to be things they're working on that they can't communicate every little movement or transition that happens within that. And so how do we look at this, and have grace for them and have love for them? Mm-hmm. But you mentioned some of the qualifications, and in the sermon, I picked out several different. We don't have time to go through all of them.
Right.
And we have a great process of how we look at these things and select our elders. But since you brought the question up, what are some of the qualifications that we look at when we look at
elders.
Mm-hmm. So one of the ones I picked out is above reproach, right? Mm-hmm. My goodness, what in the world can that mean, right? Mm-hmm. And there's just volumes written about it. But the way I approached it was, generally, is this person a good example? Is this a person that represents Christ in our church well? Is this a role model? Or have you ever thought this or had this inkling? Would you like to interview them for how they do the Christian life, for your own knowledge?
Okay.
Think about how fun it would be to sit down with a Wade Moses or Kirk Stowe or Jeremy Novak or any one of these guys, right? And say, hey, how do you do your Christian life? Mm-hmm. Because I look at, I'm sure you're not perfect or any, but I feel like I could learn from you. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to know how you do this thing called the Christian life because I want to grow too. I want to continue to grow. So. Mm-hmm. Can I interview with you? Can I sit down? So I think it's a great way to talk about being above reproach is when you look at them, would there be that desire just a little bit, just to sit down with them over a cup of coffee and kind of interview
pick
them?
Their brain.
Pick their brain about how to do the Christian life.
Oh, that's good.
I think one of the pieces with that too is we often, that phrase can sometimes be used as a weapon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Against leaders, it's Christian slang, right? Because above reproach is, it's not just something called to for elders, but for all of us within the Christian faith that works in Christ. One of the things that I look to when I'm looking at to see, man, is that someone that I feel like is living above reproach? It is not sinlessness. Mm-hmm. It's humility and brokenness when they realize they've sinned.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When you have a leader that you feel like you can go to and say, I saw this. Mm-hmm. Or, and man, when you did respond in this situation, I felt like, and when there's a humility and grace that says, wow, that was never my intention, or, hey, you're right. Or, I had someone come to me one time and said, man, when you guys were leaving church the other day, it seemed like you were short with your wife. And I was probably 6 months ago. I remember this situation. Like, I'm glad you could come tell me that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's good. And because they recognized not a standard of perfection. They recognize David was someone I feel like I could go share that with and he'd receive it. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like a great way of seeing above reproach is, is when something happens, there's so much humility and grace that they're willing to say, I screwed that one up and help me fight that because I do not want that to be present in my life as a man of God. And I think that's a huge value that I look for in leaders.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about weaponizing things and and I didn't so much put it in the sermon, but I think we talked about it in our preaching team. People also look at this above reproach sometimes when they're thinking about affirmation of the elders. Let's say that, and I know I'm being a little silly here, but I'm trying to make a point. Well, if they don't listen to the music I listen to, well, they're not above reproach. Mm-hmm. They just pick at little things and there's not a grace in the area. And again, they should be above reproach. They should be an exemplary of what a Christian should be, but they're not perfect. And just because, how they celebrate Christmas. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe that's a more apt example.
I think that's good, right? Yes.
So if I look at someone and they don't celebrate Christmas the way I do, should that be a hill to die on, so to speak, for me about affirming them as an elder? In my opinion, no.
No.
Now, don't get me wrong. I want them to emphasize
Jesus,
the story, but it's not going to impact me on whether they celebrate Christmas the way I do or not. Mm-hmm. It's not a place where I would look at their life and say, you're not above reproach.
Right.
You know, so, because it can be, that above that's reproach can be.
That's a great example. I think that's that's a really good example. Mm-hmm.
And awesome. There's just not grace in that. So, but it's an easy thing to do.
So, do you mind if we keep going on that?
Let's keep going.
Switch? Yeah. And I'll be quicker about these, but because some of these, they just speak to my heart too. Mm-hmm. So are they hospitable or approachable? Is there an authentic warmness about the person that gives you a sense of peace and being in their presence? So for example, when you come up to an elder, a leader, and you're talking with them, you may be in a group of a room full of people, but do you sense you're the most important person in the room at that moment?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so good when you talk about being a hospital approach. Not just can they host a good party at their house or something like that, but are they gracious to you? And again, there could be times, you know, where they're in a hurry to get to one place to another and they got responsibilities. But in that moment when you're communicating with them, I love that about our elders is that they're hospitable, they're approachable, they are focused on you. Now, there may be situations in their life where, you know, it's harder to get to them or they may be busy, but when there is that moment, you know you have their attention. You know that they're wanting to hear you and listen to you. And so I think that's so powerful. I'll just hit one more. People don't really, because talking about being able to teach, and again, we, so many of the elders with their qualifications, we go through small groups and things like that, but this idea of being willing to teach, are they willing to learn? Just this last year, our elders read Evangelical Convictions, which is pretty much a systematic theology of the Evangelical Free Church. And then they read Hills to Die On, which is another great text. And so it's just this dynamic where, you know, lifelong learners, lifelong disciples, growing, pushing themselves in the faith. Are these men those type of men? And they 100% are.
So is Hills to Die On a book that you gentlemen would recommend for all of us so that we're not getting caught up on how to celebrate Christmas and when we are looking at those in leadership and we want to love them and hold them accountable, is that a book that would be good for all of us to read?
If you didn't read the book, let me back up. Yes, I think it would be a good book to read.
I agree. That is a really good book to read.
Okay.
But if you can't read that book, then what I would say is there is, Albert Mohler also has almost the same, I think he even mentions it in the book, but like just shorter argumentation articles. I think he calls it something triage, church triage or something like that. But he basically goes through the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can find shorter articles to also, but it's just looking at what are those primary doctrines that we have to hold on to tightly? Okay. And what are those areas where we don't necessarily have to agree? Mm-hmm. And then what are those areas where we can't agree and we should go somewhere else? Mm-hmm. Right. So the book just really covers that in great detail. It's wonderful. And I think it would help us frame where we put emphasis on.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Hills to Die On book is actually a pretty simple read. It's not a hard read. It's a thinner book. I think it's understand how to live within the context of community within what are the places where we do recognize this is what we need to be teaching. But if you want to know the heart of your elders, I think it's a great thing because we love that book. Okay. We read it together. It gave us a great idea. I think it matches so well with who the Free Church is and the heart behind why we have our 10 statements of faith, but why we have so much freedom within other application of things within the church. And, you know, it'll give you a pulse of our heart and philosophy of leadership and shepherding and teaching.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are a few people in my life that if they tell me to read a book, I read it because I so respect their walks with God. And so just feeling challenged, like if you guys read that, I think I maybe need to read that book. So join me if anyone else wants to read Hills to Die On. We can have a book club.
And for those that don't also like to read, there's an Audible version of it too. Okay. If I can ever get an Audible of a book, man, that's my drive time is when I love to listen as I'm reading books at the same time. And so that's a great one to get.
So when I look at these qualifications, we all should have these qualifications at some level, shouldn't we?
Yeah, and I think that also speaks to the idea of this aspiring to leadership, because sometimes we get into this idea of, oh, I shouldn't aspire to certain, and really we call it servant leadership, or you could almost substitute it completely and say to serve at higher and higher levels. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, when you look at these qualifications, these are characteristics that every Christian mm-hmm. should want to have in their mm-hmm. life.
Right.
And again, in the sermon, we'll talk a little bit about it, that, you know, when it says aspire to it, it doesn't mean you should have a vote for Tammy for deaconess or vote for David for mm-hmm. elder or something. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not aspiring and politicking, but it's this dynamic.
Is
where...
anyone else thinking of Napoleon Dynamite and Pedro? That's what I'm thinking.
David.
Vote for Pedro.
But it's just one of those dynamics to where, because when you hear this, and Paul literally says it, you know, that those that would aspire to the office of overseers, they, you know, that's good because it's a noble task.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the dynamic we get in our mind sometimes is we have this wrestle of, well, if I'm aspiring, is this about me? Am I looking power? You know, am I looking to gain power? But when you recognize what it is to be an elder or what it is to be a deacon, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. it's servant leadership, it's serving, it's becoming, it's this idea of you're a grape, but you're also becoming and functioning as a trellis so mm-hmm. that others can grow. In other words, this is becoming a position of service, mm-hmm. of servanthood. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a responsibility that denotes and brings you into some places of authority, mm-hmm. but that authority is only vested in you by Christ to be able to serve the body. Mm-hmm. There's no indication here of you aspiring to become some person of power. Mm-hmm. It should be looked at more as I am a steward, I am a shepherd, I am a servant. Mm-hmm. I am here to further God's church. I am here to mm-hmm. further these individual believers or to provide an opportunity to equip them so that they can do ministries. There's nothing in it about this that pushes me to strive to have power or to have say. Mm-hmm. Now, again, inherent within the responsibilities there, yes, there is that. For example, I may preach the word of God, but I'm not preaching my word. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching God's word, mm-hmm. and that is serving the people.
So the word that's in my head, and I could be really wrong, is I think what I hear you saying is that everyone, every part of this body is valuable. It's not speaking to value. It's speaking to a role to have us. Okay.
Oh, and if you think about it, and Paul talks about another place being an under rower or an under steward on a ship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our roles as elders or deacons or any small group leaders, any position of authority or responsibility that you have in the church, it's not given to you because of you and what it can do for you. It's given to you by God and by the body so that you can serve them in serving Christ. And I hope this frees people who may be wrestling with that, if they are, mm-hmm. is that you can dream. If God puts this on your heart, I mean, you can dream, you can aspire, you can just stretch to this, because mm-hmm. this is not a place where you come in and you're going to be just calling the shots, right? This is truly a place where you are giving your life away mm-hmm. to serve so that others will grow and be healthy and to give them opportunity and to help them to flourish. Mm-hmm. This is not about mm-hmm. just you or you achieving something. Mm-hmm. I really think that model, again, if you're looking at a hierarchical model, trying to put in a structure so it makes sense. Yeah, okay, in one sense, you might have these leadership positions up here above the general body. But more truly what it is they come underneath the body to lift them up and to keep moving them mm-hmm. closer to Jesus. And I think too, and I think this will help people when they look at their leadership to love them and appreciate them more, because understand, this is not where they see themselves. Mm-hmm. This is where they see themselves. Mm-hmm. And if you can see them as that, as people holding you up, mm-hmm. people carrying you, people loving you,
you're more apt to trust that than you are to trust that.
To trust mm-hmm. that, to say, these are people who are lifting me up, who are caring for me, who are praying mm-hmm. for me, who are equipping me, who are pushing me into greater ministry and mm-hmm. service and opportunity. These are not people who are up here to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. They're down here to help me follow Christ.
Because if you look at our qualifications, how we take what is here and say, all right, here's how we live this out here at Bethany for elders. One of the things you'll see is that we look to see how are they serving. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if someone says, "Man, I aspire to be an elder, which is fantastic. That is, does not mean you have an ego. It could mean you have a desire to serve and love the church and shepherd it and care for it. And so if you're one of those people, don't be afraid to come talk to one of the pastors, elders, and say, I aspire to this, because we'll say, great, this is what it would begin to look like. We don't know if God's called you to that specific office, but we can say these qualifications are incredible things that God's called us to do in the church, and we'll help you begin to walk those areas of your Christian life and serve in the church. Our elders are required, have an expectation of service in ministry and grow groups, or maybe children's ministry or student ministries, being present here on Sunday mornings, greeting people, helping people get connected to the life of the church, serving at places like Starting Point, things like that.
And that takes time. Someone doesn't just walk into our doors and 12 months later, we put them on our elder board. Like, we have to know who our
That's right.
Mm-hmm, our
and,
leaders are going to be.
And we have a, I love what we actually have here at Bethany. It's very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. It's detailed. It's purposeful in helping people. It's not just here's how you get voted on. It's mm-hmm. here's how we begin to walk this in our life of leadership together, shepherding together. So if you desire, if you aspire to this, here's ways that you can begin to walk this now, even if that was 5 years down the road before God mm-hmm. opened up that door.
Mm-hmm. And what's beautiful too is as you aspire for these qualifications and Christian maturation, people are going to see this in you. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people, be involved in the nominating process, be involved in the affirming process. You know, this is important stuff. Mm-hmm. And these are people who are going to be lifting you up and caring for you. And chances are they're already lifting you up and caring for you and serving, mm-hmm. as David saying in different ministries. Most of the people that I find that have become elders or deacons or small group leaders, it's people that you already see it in them. Mm-hmm. Although there has been a few times in my life where there might be, for example, a young man who aspires to that, who comes mm-hmm. like David says and talks about it. And then you begin to disciple them. And, mm-hmm. and at my last church, I remember a gentleman who was like that. He was young, on fire for Jesus. And he knew I'm young. And he knew mm-hmm. I'm new in this body. And we began a process of hooking up with a former elder. Mm-hmm. And they began to walk together and do things. And he was serving and just all of this. And I have no doubt that mm-hmm. he's going to become an elder. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. there's just some time that needs to happen there.
So the aspiring is huge, and it's a great verb. And obviously, I'm not an elder, but is there a point when you guys are watching, when you are in leadership positions? I did not know that I had what it took for this job. But obviously, mm-hmm. Thad saw something in me. Margie kind of pushed me that way. Is there often when elders come to you or deacons, does someone not even realize that maybe God is going could use them that way? Because mm-hmm. so some people might be nominated that are like, I was nominated, as didn't come to you and say, I aspire to this. Well, like, how does that make sense at all?
So for me, yeah. the majority of people come that way.
Okay.
But once they search their soul, mm-hmm. they realize in their love for Christ mm-hmm. and where they go, like, it kind of lights a flame within them, mm-hmm. right? Or it's a recognition, an aha moment of mm-hmm. there's just something that sinks. There's a God moment of them speaking into them at some point in that process, and they can continue to even more fully engage in that aspiration of walking out this, what was it, a 6-month process? What's the process? It's fairly lengthy.
Well, once we've talked to someone and they're like, yeah, I think I would be interested, or I think I do want to walk this path. Mm-hmm. It's a 1-year process.
Yeah, okay. to get to that point. And so mm-hmm. there is time for aspirations mm-hmm. and also, you know, counting the cost, because mm-hmm. there's a
mm-hmm. and that's part of the 1-year process.
There's a cost.
Start to count the cost. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's involved in serving like that. And mm-hmm. so all of that works together. Mm-hmm. I remember people when I was younger, before I had fully recognized and accepted my calling into the ministry, that had seen it in me. And it came to me and said certain things or done certain things. And when they did that, there was just this, my stomach's in my throat. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing God in this. Mm-hmm. And
that you knew anything different would be disobedience.
Yeah. And then mm-hmm. there was this aspiration in my heart, and it took me. The time between when I first recognized that I was called to the ministry, the time that I first served in the ministry, gosh, it had to be pushing on full-time 2004, 1985, almost 10 years.
Okay.
9 or 10 years. So, mm-hmm. yeah, mm. that's a walk.
Mm-hmm. When, and as we even talk about this whole idea of aspiring, but also even others seeing you and potentially you seeing somebody and wanting mm-hmm. to affirm them potentially and say, mm-hmm. I think you should aspire mm-hmm. is really what we should be saying is, I think there's two things I would do with that. If you want to, if you're looking at someone saying, oh man, I think I want to recommend them. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you to email the office, one of the pastors, get those qualifications document. Mm-hmm. That way you can look at that and say, who should I be looking for mm-hmm. to be future elders mm-hmm. at the church? How to, you know, this helps guide you, because I think we have something we do in the church, and you've already got this in your notes, and I think it's a good time to go to this, where we are actually looking not for qualifications that we see here, but we're looking for people that we think will represent us well. Mm-hmm. And we have this broken identity of eldership as a representation of me, my viewpoints, my philosophy, mm-hmm. my ways I think things should be done. Mm-hmm. And that is, at best, a corruption of God's model of eldership and leadership in the church.
Well, and I know that is one of our grow group questions, just living in a democracy, being able to vote for the person that we think will represent what we believe we need as Americans. That does it, you know.
And it's a beautiful model, what mm-hmm. we have here in the United States. It's beautiful. We call mm-hmm. them our representatives. Mm-hmm. The Bible never calls an elder our representatives. That is not a qualification of eldership, nor a role or a title that we give elders within the body of Christ. And mm-hmm. and we have, well, you speak to this, that, because you wrote that question down to address that. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear you speak to that.
Yeah, there's this dynamic there. And so the strain of thought that David's coming at is, it is fairly political. I want this representative because he represents just my views. But mm-hmm. Really, the elders aren't called to represent the body in the sense of pushing agendas. They're called to represent Jesus Christ to the body and pushing his agenda, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, that's beautiful. Right, and so, I love that.
And so this dynamic of they are to, as a group, mm-hmm. represent to us the vision, wisdom of Christ and their direction mm-hmm. and where they bring us. And so when we recognize that, we have to look for those qualifications, because those are the ones that are indicative of maturing mm-hmm. Christians that we can trust, mm-hmm. even if they, you know. So, for example, there's been times where maybe I didn't agree with an elder on everything, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. but yet I so respected and admired that person. I was so excited to have them on the board, although I knew there'd be a few areas where mm-hmm. I knew we'd probably clash heads. Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because together we'll represent the full wisdom. Mm-hmm. I hesitate to say full wisdom of Christ, but, you know, I would not
our
want
our imperfect interpretation.
Yeah, yeah. But I would not yeah. want to be mm-hmm. as a elder. I would not want to be just a elder mm-hmm. trying to hear the Lord.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right.
I would. Yeah, that's I, right. But I love being a part of elders mm-hmm. that together pray and wrestle mm-hmm. and try to hear the Lord. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, people talk about eldership or leaders, and they're like, "Oh, give us a vision, right? You know, or tell you know." Come in with a new vision. No. Elders are to hear God's vision, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And repeat that to the mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. It just changes the construct of how we are, of who we are and how we understand mm-hmm. eldership. And again, too, there's just the influence of our culture, mm-hmm. even our representative republic mm-hmm. on the church. In some ways there's goodness to it, but it is very different than the way biblical leadership is designed mm-hmm. in which Pinehurst Church. I remember years ago and I was talking with different persons, and I'll never forget this statement. It was something to the effect, I am a tithe paying member of the church mm-hmm. and therefore I should have a say or vote mm-hmm. in everything. And you know, and again, this is not exactly answering your question, but it's talking about how
no,
we're
it
saying,
kind of
yeah,
is.
That's the heart yeah, of the brokenness mm-hmm. that makes yeah. us yeah. think mm-hmm. this way, though.
And I remember mm-hmm. telling this person, okay, I understand your sentiment, mm-hmm. but you're completely wrong. Mm-hmm. Completely wrong. Yeah. That is not how God mm-hmm. has designed the church. Because if you go, you know, and carry that to the, if you have a vote, say, on anything, well, not everyone is maybe in a place where they even should have a vote and say in everything. Mm-hmm. And then if we really want to keep going down that way of thought, and well, mm-hmm. who's to say that if somebody has more resources that their vote shouldn't count twice? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just right. where do you want to go with all this
yeah,
stuff? You know,
it really is.
But mm-hmm. God designed it so that there was a group of individuals that the body could agree and affirm are maturing individuals mm-hmm. who could, for a period of time, hear God and help the church become who they're to become. That's the way He's designed it.
Yeah, I love it.
And there's checks and balances all throughout that. You know,
so agreeing and affirming are better verbs than we're voting for our elder board. It might help
absolutely.
Us understand.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and again, I'm fine with that. I think because we say something about an affirming vote of the mm-hmm. elders or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it helps people understand there's a tally there you're making,
right.
so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
To show affirmation. Mm-hmm. But we need to fully believe that if it's God's will, this will be mm-hmm. affirmed. And so we have that sovereign confidence in God. But it is a mm-hmm. language can be complicated.
Well, and I think, you know, sometimes it's hard to trust a board, or if we know people and we know their secrets, and it can be hard, and people can wrestle with that. So for me, it always comes down to, I'm not even necessarily trusting even Andy as the head of our home or the elders here, but I am trusting God. Mm. I can do that. Like, does that, because yeah. He's faithful and He's good. And
you know, and what's so fun too, that is absolutely the right way to go. But it's funny to me, some of the most humble men I know are men who were active elders and were now inactive. When I say, that's a misnomer, whether it's sitting or in it. Anyway, mm-hmm. someone who is serving as an elder, who is in very much still an elder, but is not serving in that capacity right now.
Mm-hmm.
When the elders make a decision that maybe they don't agree with, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, just internally,
mm-hmm.
they are so submissive because they understand those guys are wrestling. They have mm-hmm. they have 20 streams of information. I may have two.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hearing God and they're praying together and they're making this decision.
Mm-hmm.
To see how humble those guys are in submitting and how quick they are to submitting that leadership
mm-hmm.
Tells you of their maturity, but it also tells you of the respect for the office that they have.
Mm-hmm.
In one sense, I gotta be careful how I say this. In one sense, I wish I could give everybody about a 2-year term on elders, because I think it would completely change how they thought about mm-hmm. those elders. And how they wrestle and how they struggle and how they pray and how they sacrifice and how they serve. Because if you ever taste that,
you'd be
or a wife or elder wife, if mm-hmm. you ever, because it may be the elder man in the room,
mm-hmm.
but there's a oneness with a wife where they share mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. where appropriate and mm-hmm. the wife senses and knows mm-hmm. this, and then she's sacrificing too. But
mm-hmm.
And gives great godly
wisdom. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. there's often we go to our wives and say, we need your insight.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But there's this dynamic where if you ever taste that responsibility and that service and that sacrifice, and it is rewarding, very rewarding, but if you ever taste that, the way you look at those men and their mm-hmm. wives, or if it's deacons, you know, mm-hmm. anyway, it totally changes how you perceive them.
Mm-hmm.
And your grace towards them will forever be altered.
And your willingness to be on your knees
absolutely.
For them too.
To pray for them, mm-hmm. to submit it.
And I want to add too, though, because you can sometimes hear these narratives, like we're talking right now, trust, submission, mm-hmm. that part. And some of you may have heard this, and this might come up in grow group discussion, mm-hmm. is that can sometimes be used to empower abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to really speak against that. That mm-hmm. is such an important thing to speak against, because scriptures, one of the reasons they give these qualifications is because when we truly are living in a lack of repentance or sin, not in line with these qualifications, the body has a responsibility. My brothers and sisters have a responsibility mm-hmm. to come and say, David, this is not, that you're not walking in what God has called you to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible gives us tools, even says, when a elder is in sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, don't just entertain an accusation against an elder by just one person. But if there's evidence or something that says, hey, there's actual sin,
mm-hmm.
you need to go deal with that. And mm-hmm. you need to confront that. And in fact, because it's an elder, it even says, make it known
mm-hmm.
because of the damage that the possible that has occurred.
Mm-hmm.
But notice it's sin. Mm-hmm. It's not, I just do not like the way they just directed mm-hmm. the fact that that a program in the church is going to shift or be right. different, or the fact that they're not doing things on Sunday exactly the way I'd want, or not doing things on Wednesday night exactly the way I'd want. No, that's not what the accountability is. The accountability is mm-hmm. is spiritual and biblical accountability, so that we can trust those mm-hmm. God has put us in leadership to lead by the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. and to know we can walk with them, because if they start to deviate from the Spirit of God, the evidence mm-hmm. is sin. Mm-hmm. But if not, now I can trust. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing. So don't hear it as an empowerment of abuse, but at the same time, don't hear the other side to say, anytime they do something I don't like, it must mean I need to confront them. Right. That's not what we mean by spiritual accountability. We're talking, in fact, I would say, whether I'm an elder or not, I need my brothers and sisters to hold me accountable.
Absolutely.
to these things. Mm-hmm. All of us do, mm-hmm. because that's how the church is strengthened by the Spirit of God mm-hmm. to be the light in the darkness.
Mm-hmm. So fun to recognize the difference between I don't agree with that versus that sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a great,
that's a great
summary.
Yeah,
that's a huge deal.
So we spent a lot of time on our elders, but I know most of us sitting here are not elders or deacons, and you are going to touch a tiny bit on the priesthood of the believers and how what that looks like to help our elders and our deacons. So Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, so you got this dynamic of elders, and then we seem to see biblically where the apostles are doing the evolution of a deacon office. Mm-hmm. But as you're sitting there thinking, I guess the deacons are the people who are serving to facilitate ministry, that kind of thing, and the elders are kind of the leaders supporting trellis guys, et cetera, mm-hmm. along with the deacons. Mm-hmm. But what am I? Am I just a,
who am I?
That's the beautiful thing about it is these mm-hmm. offices of elders and deacons function so that you can not only grow, but so that you can serve, mm-hmm. so that you can be involved, mm-hmm. so that you can be equipped in doing the work mm-hmm. of the ministry. In my opinion, the office of deacon really evolved for unique situational or even ongoing mm-hmm. ministries that are beyond the day-to-day activity of a believer, mm-hmm. right? So for example, if you look at Acts 6, this was a major situation going on where the church had just exploded, 3,000 people and more, mm-hmm. and then you have these Hellenistic Jews who are not being taken care of. Widows mm-hmm. are not being taken care of. And so there was a unique gathering of spirit-filled individuals to take care of them, right? That was a unique circumstance. Mm-hmm. But yet the Bible is mm-hmm. just filled with things that believers should be doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's a dynamic there to where over the course of the years, mm-hmm. we talk about what the priesthood of the believer is and mm-hmm. and how we are to function and do ministry. Mm-hmm. But I think what's more important for us to talk about now, as we are the priesthood of the believers, as we are here mm-hmm. growing, being healthy, and serving in ministry, what do we need to do now in this time of transition? I think is a healthy question to mm-hmm. ask, because not only should we be praying, but we should be extra giving of our time, mm-hmm. get of resources, of everything, mm-hmm. making sure that where one group is maybe bearing a heavier load, okay, while they're doing that, we're going to do these other things so that they don't have to worry, mm-hmm. so that they don't have to concern themselves. If someone says there's a need in children's, or there's needs in usher and greeter, or there's a need over here, we should be quick to volunteer. Mm-hmm. Maybe recognizing this won't be a long-term service, mm-hmm. but at least for the immediate beginning, we're going to step in and do whatever it takes to make sure that we stay in a healthy place. And we mm-hmm. are at a very healthy place as a church. Mm-hmm. And just to be so sensitive mm-hmm. to that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's something that we need to be all thinking about now. But I also think we need to keep in our mind that these offices exist so that we can grow and do ministry. Mm-hmm. It is the furthest thing from we're just going to sit and absorb. No, it creates that framework mm-hmm. so that we can grow and do the work of the mm-hmm. ministry and the work of the gospel.
David, speak to this from a grow group and grow group leader's perspective.
David's going to speak on behalf of a grow group?
Yeah, he is.
Wow, shocker. But this is one of the things that we call our grow groups is mini churches. Mm-hmm. And we really believe as pastors, elders, ministry leaders, our desire and passion is mm-hmm. to equip you within your grow groups to do the work of the ministry. You know, mm-hmm. when someone's struggling, when someone's had a baby, someone's in the hospital, someone's in crisis, mm-hmm. you guys are on the front lines doing that. Mm-hmm. And that is where the role of the pastor is to equip the church to go beat the church.
Right.
Not to make sure that every time something goes wrong, that there's a pastor or elder there to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. It's actually to help equip us so that as life happens within a body of mm-hmm. 500, 600, 700 believers, however many mm-hmm. we have here at Bethany, that you are able to go mm-hmm. and do those things. Mm-hmm. And so even something to talk about in grow groups, I would say when you get to the part about priests of all believers, how do we mm-hmm. love and support each other in our grow group? How are we doing? Maybe leaders, you can ask, how are we doing as shepherding you guys? Mm-hmm. But even asking the questions, how are we doing as supporting each other and doing the work of the ministry in each other's lives? Mm-hmm. And outside of that, mm-hmm. obedient to the ultimate call that Ephesians speaks to, mm-hmm. all of this is to equip the saints to go do and be the church in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I don't want this to end because I enjoy talking mm-hmm. to the two of you, but we need to. So thank you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.